Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We got George Blackard in the house for Freedom Friday. We got a couple of messages here on the Montana Talks app. We've got open phones for you, 406-294-0970. We got A.G. Knutson coming into the house here shortly. George, I want to get your take on the Arlington Cemetery story. Just so folks know, my understanding of the story is that the family members of the military members who were killed in Afghanistan during the botched withdrawal made a request to Donald Trump that he would come to Arlington ceremony with them, and he said yes, and then of course it caused this huge uproar. Is that the facts? And if so, kind of what's your take on it?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think there's a few things in this. So the Arlington National Cemetery employee that told them they couldn't shoot video or take pictures there is actually correct in that you're not allowed to take pictures or film video of a funeral in Arlington National Cemetery. And this was not a funeral, but it was a memorial service. And I imagine that that would fall under that same category. So that person was right. It's my understanding, even Arlington National Cemetery said that that employee went a little bit further than they should have. And the other thing is the Trump people, it sounds like, probably went a little further than they should have. So I think it's a case where both sides were kind of right and both sides were also wrong. And I think, you know, you had a couple of personalities there that clashed, and then you had this world news suddenly. But I think if the families wanted them there, then I believe it would be okay, and that the cemetery should say, okay, the family wants this, then we'll allow that. But certainly you are not allowed to take video or pictures of ceremonies.
Yeah, you know, the response that a lot of Republicans have said to this Democrat criticism is look, these are Gold Star families. These are families whose family members died serving our country in Afghanistan. If they want to invite Trump, they have every right to invite Trump, and Trump has every right to accept it. Now, the response that I've heard from Democrats is, I don't care what those families want. I don't care about Gold Star families. And that attitude I find just absolutely revolting.
Well, see, so they care until it doesn't match with what their agenda is or something like that. And, you know, that goes both ways, really. But it seems like the Democrats do it a lot. It's okay for them to do something, but it's not okay for the Republicans to do it. They're pretty picky and on what they want to believe at the moment.
Right.
So it doesn't surprise me.
All right, we're going to be right back here. I want to talk a little bit about the Hunter Biden news and how ridiculous it is for the Democrats to try to pretend like Hunter Biden pleading guilty has no impact on Kamala.
I'm Tad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Analysts told Senate Democrats for much of this cycle that they will likely be serving in the minority next year. The Democrats say they see similarities between their candidate matchups in November and when they expanded a narrow majority in 2022. In 2022, Democrats added to their slim majority, thanks in part to Republicans running flawed candidates. That included TV personality Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania and former football star Herschel Walker in Georgia. All candidates have flaws, but Republicans think the flaws of candidates like Oz and Walker in 2022 were special cases. Still, Democrats face an uphill climb to keep the Senate. Already, Republicans are all but guaranteed a win in West Virginia. Independent West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who caucuses with the Democrats, is retiring. That likely clears the way for Republican West Virginia Governor Jim Justice to win the seat. Just to break even, Democrats must hold seats in Republican states like Ohio and Montana and defend seats in swing states like Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Nevada. with the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Man, it is so obvious to spot the liberal media bias here in Montana. They never ask liberal Senator John Tester any tough questions. They never hold him accountable. Yet they do this phony press release reporting for any fake news he wants to pump out there. Hey, I'll tell you what, Montana Talks, go to the Montana Talks website, go download the Montana Talks app, because we're going to deliver the stories they refuse to tell. MontanaTalks.com, download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and George Blackard filling in for Aaron Flint. I got a message here from Julian Harden. Got one from Menace, from Ennis. Got one from Evan and Belt. Going to read those here momentarily. But let's go to Gary in Billings. Gary, thanks for calling. Gary, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead, you're on.
Okay, thank you, David and George. As we talked yesterday about these phony charges against Cheney, maybe you've seen that in the bills yesterday, right on the front page, tried to demand Cheney's policies for what he was talking about. These Indians are drinking all the time, and what's kind of funny, last night's on the news, they have these commercials showing Tim Seeley as shutting down your Social Security, but it's a kind of a fake image of Seeley, so this is all right back. So did you see that, David?
I didn't, but I know that they're attacking Sheehy on that, when the reality is, of course, is if you want to destroy Social Security, if you want to destroy Medicare and Medicare, there's one way to do that, which is add 30 to 40 million illegal aliens to the American citizenship rolls and give them all Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. 30 million new recipients is a good way to destroy those programs.
And that's the Democrats doing that. And that's the Democrats doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. What are your response to that, Gary?
Well, it gets right back to, I cannot see Tim and what I know of him and me and people around him that he would criticize him. Indians for drinking all the time.
And he wasn't, Gary. He wasn't criticizing Indians for drinking all the time at all. What Tim Sheehy was talking about is how he has a really strong connection to the Crow Indian tribe in the Crow Reservation, because Tim Sheehy's best friend and ranching partner is a Crow Indian, which is why Tim Sheehy has spent so much time on the Crow Reservation roping and riding with the Indians, branding with them. He goes to Crow Fair. Literally, his ranching partner is a Crow Indian. He has a strong connection there. He made a comment about Indians that when he goes to there, the Indians being drunk at 8 a.m. Now, should he have made that comment? Who knows? But my response to that, number one, this was an illegally, criminally recorded video. In Montana, we're a dual-party consent state. You cannot secretly record conversations with somebody. That's a crime in Montana. Number two, this was done back in 2023, so this was a criminal recording that is being released right now for very clearly partisan purposes. This is not being released because the Democrats are so mad about it. This is a partisan electoral strategy using a criminally recorded video and totally misinterpreting it and here's the other thing, right? We've got an alcohol problem and a drug problem on our reservations. It's very difficult for people to talk about and deal with. And when you actually listen to the Tim Sheehy audio, there's not one ounce of negativity towards the Indians. It's specifically, he's talking about how much he cares about them, and he's talking about the unfortunate reality of an alcohol problem on our reservation. Maybe the Democrats ought to try to figure out, how do we stop and help the Indians with the alcohol problem? Maybe the Democrats ought to try to do something to help the Native Americans with the alcohol problem on the reservation, instead of engaging in criminal, illegal, partisan attacks on Tim Sheehy. That's my take, George. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. But see, we're at a place in this country where you can't speak truth. You can't talk about things that actually happen, because we do have a problem. And you can drive through downtown Billings and see that. You don't have to go to the reservation to see that. But
they will admit there's a problem. Everybody admits they're a problem, except Democrats won't let us talk about it, and they won't let us mention that, who it is, right? Well, there's a problem, but it's not just them. You can't just point them out or single them out. So, you know, I think you're absolutely right that the illegalness of that recording as well. But see, that's what they do. I've had different politicians come to meetings that I was running, and the Democrats send in these undercover people, and they record everything they say, looking for something that they can use against them later. And what they will tell you is, well, this is a public forum, and I have a right to be here. And I had an instance, I'll give you one, at a veteran service organization I work for. Senator Daines was there to speak to our veterans group. It was not an open public forum. It's a membership organization. He was there. This guy tried to come in with his camera, and he wanted to record what was going on, and I threw him out. And he said, I'm calling my boss. I said, good, call him, but you're still thrown out. And he got his boss on the phone, and I said, give that to me. And I talked to him, and I said,
and you were on private property, I assume.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you had to be a member you know, to be there. And I told his boss that. And I said, your guy is he's a snot-nosed brat, and he's disrupting things. And you need to get him out of here, because I'm going to throw him out physically if he doesn't leave on his own.
Right. The real story here is the deception that they used, where these Democrats will go undercover and deceptively lie to you and make you think that they're a conservative, and then they'll specifically goad you into trying to say something. They'll specifically bring up a really controversial topic to try to catch them.
Right, exactly. Well, have you seen John Tester's latest commercial? I'm a Republican, and I'm voting for Trump, but I'm voting for John Tester.
Yeah, give me a break.
Yeah, give me a break. Those guys, not a chance.
How much was that guy paid by the Tester pack, I wonder?
I don't know, but if you're a college student, you can get $2,400 for making a video.
There you go. Julian Hardin said, good morning. The guy that claims he's a lifelong Republican, but that he's voting for Tester's, his name is Wade Jones from North of Malta. It's a pretty ridiculous radio commercial. He claims Tester's always done right for Montana, along with other falsehoods. Clearly a falsehood on that one. Thanks for the message, Julie. George Blackard and David Noble will be right back.
Democracy 24.
Democrats are going all in on the youth vote, but young voters aren't feeling the love. According to a new study by Gallup, more than half of Gen Z kids, 51%, have, quote, very little trust in the presidency. 54% don't trust Congress. This lack of trust in Washington comes at the same time that younger voters are getting hit hard financially because of economic conditions. Every one in seven Gen Zers is maxed out on their credit cards. This is why speakers like former President Barack Obama are taking their time on the DNC stage to focus on youth economic issues.
If we want to make it easier for more young people to buy a home, we need to build more units.
Taking a look at what voters under 30 think about the candidates, Fox polling shows there's not a large gap in favorability between the two presidential candidates, but voters under 30 favor Walls at 40%, and just 28% favor Vance. I'm Madison Allworth, Fox Business.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Agricultural economic researchers have asked consumers if they believe politicians can lower food prices. Specifically, the Agriculture Survey asked which political party, if any, those queried thought could help to reduce food prices in grocery stores. Maria Calzadonakis is an assistant professor of agricultural and consumer economics at the University of Illinois, who conducted the research.
In August, we asked about this, about whether they thought politicians could lower food prices. So specifically, we looked at who they thought could lower food prices, Republicans, Democrats, whether it would require bipartisan support or whether they didn't believe that politicians had the power to lower food prices.
Agricultural economists found that nearly 75% of self-identified Republicans thought only Republicans could lower food prices, and slightly less, but about 61% of Democrats thought that only Democrats could lower food prices. Independent or other participants, so people who don't identify with one of those major parties, were more pessimistic about the idea. 30% think politicians cannot lower food prices, and about 46% say if they can, it would require bipartisan support. The survey does not speak to the actual ability of politicians to lower food prices, but only to whether or not consumers believe in the promises they say on the campaign trail. I'm Lee Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got George Blackard in the house, and we've got the Attorney General of Montana, Austin Knutson, the best AG in the country. Attorney General, thanks for joining us.
Happy to do it. Glad to be here, David.
What are you doing here?
This is actually a pretty cool day. We're going to Billings Senior High School right after this, and we are officially announcing our school naloxone kits. It's sad that we even have to have this conversation right now, but with the world we live in, the state we live in, and the amount of illegal cartel fentanyl coming in, we took some settlement money that we got from the national opioid lawsuit, and we decided let's spend it on these things are great. They look like a first aid kit that you'd hang on the wall in the school, and that's exactly what this is going to be, except it's going to have naloxone in it, just in case we have an accidental fentanyl overdose in a school or in a library.
That'll save a life.
It absolutely will save lives. Now, this is an amazing, amazing compound. It's super easy to use. It's a nasal spray, and it almost immediately counteracts a fentanyl overdose. Great stuff.
And you bring up a good point that it's there in case there's an actual overdose, but it's also there if there's an accidental overdose, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think anyone ever plans on overdosing on fentanyl. But the problem that we've got with the cartel fentanyl in Montana is that there's no quality control. You don't know what you're taking. You don't know if you're getting a little bit of fentanyl or if you're getting a lethal dose of fentanyl. So unfortunately, these overdoses are way, way, way too common. And we just we want to make sure people are ready. I mean, naloxone is very it's widespread. People know how to use it, but we want to make sure it's there and it's available and that they can use it if they need to.
Sure would be nice if we didn't have to deal with so much on fentanyl in our state.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like we're treating a gunshot wound with a Band-Aid. Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a situation where if the southern border was secure, I don't think we'd have a complete stranglehold on the fentanyl, but I think we definitely would have a better handle on the amount of coming in and the crime resulting from it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, in my personal opinion, I think you're seeing a lot of drug and alcohol problems in our society because of the breakdown of the family unit and the breakdown of our religious society. If you look at the data, it's amazing when you see a line graph of the percentage of Americans that go to church every Sunday continuously dropping. At the same time, the rates of depression, anxiety going up. They've done studies with rats where they'll put a rat in a cage by himself and give him a drug. They'll put a rat in a cage with a community of rats and give him a drug. The rat that's by himself gets horribly addicted. The rat in the community of other rat doesn't get as addicted. And you see that in humans where our civil society, our family, our religious base, our spiritual well-being as a society is collapsing. And I think that's what's driving a lot of the drug and alcohol abuse.
That's certainly a big part of it. I agree. We've got a mental health crisis happening in this country. We certainly got a mental health problem in Montana, but we don't have adequate mental health resources. And unfortunately, what you get from that, you get people who self-medicate. You get people who are trying to escape their problems, and they end up in the jail. And a lot of times, that's not the best place for them. I mean, Yellowstone County Jail is full. And unfortunately, a chunk of that population is probably mentally ill individuals who don't necessarily belong there. And they need some different kind of resource.
Yeah, George, did you want to jump in on this? Or?
I agree. And we do have an epidemic there. But the problem, too, goes back a long ways. It goes back really to the 60s. But when there's a segment of society that doesn't want the church involved in anything, so the church can't raise money. They can't have one of these facilities to treat them because separation of church and state and all of this nonsense, right? And so when they start taking away these mental health facilities because they're not humane to people, then now you have people that are out on the streets who are no longer taking their prescriptions as they were when it was regimented and in a facility, and then you have what you have. And it's because for some reason the left doesn't want anybody to help anyone because it takes away their rights. It's ridiculous.
Well, and it also and then also it does, it takes away the Democrat Party's ability to say, hey, you got to vote Democrat because we'll, you know, fund all of these other programs.
Well, and don't kid yourself, like that's a big part of this. I mean, the reason we no longer have regional mental health facilities in Montana, because we used to. They were all shut down under 20 years of Democrat governors. I mean, that's just a fact. And the reason for that is because, well, they weren't state run. Those aren't state employees. That's not a state facility, and that's not union labor, and we can't have that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah, and government-run is so much better than private-run stuff, right? So, yeah.
Well, I saw a story about how one of these interim legislative committees is looking at trying to get more prison beds and was shocked to see that the cost of a new prison bed is like $216,000 per prison bed. I'm thinking, how is it $216,000 to put up some concrete walls and put a hole through one of them? That's my take on it, but I'm gonna ask for the Attorney General's take on it here right after this break. David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks. We got the AG in the house. Feel free to call in, folks, 406-294-0970. The Attorney General of Montana, Austin Knutson, not afraid to talk to Montanans or take your calls like John Tester is. I have invited Tester on. No response yet. We'll to the Attorney General of Montana. Mr. Attorney General, I was talking about this news story about how it's $216,000 for a new prison bed. Seems outrageous to me, but I don't know if there's any way, cheaper way to do it.
Well, I mean, the price of building anything right now, costs have just gone up. I mean, Bidenflation is real. You can't insert a couple trillion dollars worth of paper into the economy and not have inflation. So we're dealing with it for sure. We are probably at a spot in the state where we need to start talking about a second prison. I mean, Deer Lodge is full. There's a reason the legislature has to contract with an outside private prison company and send some of our felony inmates to Arizona. It's because we don't have space for them here. Now, I will say that is actually a better bang for our buck than having a state-owned, state-run prison. I mean, first of all, you got the upfront cost, but like we can show that the cost of a prison bed at Deer Lodge, at least when I was in the legislature, was about $150 a day per inmate, okay? You compare that to the private prison in Shelby, CoreCivic, and that's who we contract with for the out-of-state beds as well. A couple years ago, that was about $75 a day. So that just gives you some context when we're talking about actual expense to the taxpayers. You know, those private prisons do a pretty good service for us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally in favor of not only private prisons. You know, George W. Bush was right when he tried to partially privatize Social Security. Think about now we're looking at Social Security basically headed towards insolvency and bankruptcy here in just a few short years. So privatizing certain things is always a good idea. Mr. Attorney General, I saw you actually recently got a win at the Montana Supreme Court on the housing laws that the Montana Supreme Court upheld. So I guess congratulations for getting a win there at the Supreme Court.
I mean, it doesn't happen very often. We all know how much the Montana Supreme Court likes conservatives and how much they like Republican legislation. But it does happen occasionally where they get it right. But yeah, we had a couple of housing laws that were passed by the Montana legislature that had been sued and joined at the district court level, appealed up, and got a W on a couple of those. So hopefully that'll help with some affordable housing. One of those was I think, run by Senator Jeremy Trebus from Great Falls. It will allow you to actually do some development on your own property and build some affordable housing. How crazy is that?
I mean, it's like, wow, private property rights. Who's ever heard of that? If you own a lot, you want to build a duplex on it or build an ADU on it, and now you're allowed to, and that is your private property. So what a concept.
The county zoning board can't come in like the Gestapo and tell you what you can and can't do with your own property. How novel in America right. These days.
There was one thing I saw about Attorney General Austin Knutson leading a 24-state coalition demanding answers from these top asset managers supporting unpopular environmental proposals. I'm so glad that you're talking about this issue because as a lawyer, I'm aware that boards of directors of corporations and the officers of corporations actually have fiduciary duties to their shareholders to act in the best interest of their shareholders. I want to get more details on what you're doing with that piece right there, right after this. In the meantime, also open phones 406-294-0970. We'll be right back with David Noble, George Blackard, and Attorney General Knutson.
Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was a time when heavy media coverage of the Hunter Biden case was a significant factor in this year's election, particularly as Republicans tried to tie President Biden to his son's global bookraking around the world in an effort to show that President Biden had done something wrong. Hunter Biden went to trial in Delaware on gun charges. He lost. He's a convicted felon. But yesterday, the president's son stunned the courts, the prosecutor, really the whole country, by changing his plea, pleading guilty or attempting to plead guilty to tax evasion charges in Los Angeles. Now, maybe he just wanted to spare his family the ordeal of going through all that testimony again. And maybe he just thought he could get a better deal. But the media don't seem to have as much interest now that his father isn't running. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
The Brett Bear Minute.
Six hostages were discovered dead during an IDF operation in tunnels below Rafah. One, an American-Israeli citizen. Fox News radio political analyst Josh Krashauer. It seems that the Israel-Hamas situation and the gruesome discovery of the six hostages, including the American, does affect the dynamic in this election, as we thought U.S. policy to Israel might.
Foreign policy usually is not at the top of voters' choices when it comes to a presidential election. But when you look at just how the Democratic Party is divided over Israel, and you look at these ugly scenes on college campuses where you have, you know, terrorist flags and terrorist slogans being spouted on some of the elite campuses in our country, you know, it does tap into a real challenge for the Democratic Party, and something that I think Donald Trump could exploit if he chose to at the upcoming debate.
I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Need help with your finances and thinking about hiring a financial planner for some guidance? Well, it's important to vet advisors to make sure their pay structure reflects your needs. If you're considering a particular one, you have to ask questions like how did they arrive at their fee and what motivates them to charge the way they do. Many advisors base their pay on a percentage of assets under management. If you want to hire an advisor for both financial planning and investment management, you might encounter a hybrid fee structure. That means you'll pay a percentage for portfolio management plus a flat or hourly rate for financial planning. In recent years, some advisors have adopted subscription pricing that offers tiers of ongoing service with different monthly or annual retainer fees. Other popular options include charging an hourly fee or flat per project fee. You need to figure out what type of financial advisor will offer the right service along with a fair price. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
All right, summer's over. Kids are back in school. Time to get to work, especially here in 2024. Man, it's crazy. Just a few short weeks left until Election Day. You're going to want to sound off on the big news of the day. You're going to want to tell folks all across Montana what's on your mind. And sometimes it's not always the big news of the day. Sometimes it's just the fun stuff, too. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. We take it statewide every Monday through Friday right here at 9 to 10. Hey, if you...
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
David Noblin for Aaron Flint. I was just talking to the Attorney General here about this new action demanding answers from these asset managers. Mr. Attorney General, can you explain what's the background there?
Yeah, so this is one that I've been on, I mean, for a couple of years, honestly. So we're talking about ESG. What's ESG? It's environmental and social governance. Well, what does that mean? That means wokeness in the boardroom. That's what we're talking about here. This is a push by the left because they can't pass their agenda in the U.S. Congress. What they do is they get themselves put on boards of directors for various large corporations, and they start trying to push a partisan agenda, a woke left agenda, in these boardrooms. That's what's going on. Now, that might sound all well and good, but the problem with that, as you pointed out, David, as an attorney, these companies, especially if they're a publicly traded company, they owe their shareholders a fiduciary duty to make them money. They don't owe them the duty of making sure that they're, you know, promulgating a plastic bag policy.
Right. So you've got people that are investing their retirement savings into these companies hoping to get a return so that they can have a safe retirement. And then instead, their investment money is being used to promote all these radical left-wing woke ideologies.
And you might say, well, who cares what they're doing about that? Like, this is us here in Montana. Here's why we care. A lot of those companies are responsible for some of our state employee pensions. I mean, our state board of investments is invested in some of those asset managers, some of those large firms. So, yeah, we absolutely do have a vested interest in making sure that, you know what, you don't need to worry about woke policy initiatives in the boardroom. Your job is to invest Montana teachers, Montana firefighters, Montana sheriffs and peace officers' pensions and make sure you're making them a retirement.
Love it. Fantastic. Let's go to Tester will not be elected. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thanks, Austin Knudsen, for being in studio. I have a quick question. What are we doing as a state to make sure we don't have the same thing in Aurora, Colorado happening in our state? And if something like that happened with the takeovers and the gangs in Montana, are you willing to take necessary action to neutralize the problem?
Great question. Thank you.
So let's start with your first part of the question. What are we doing? Excuse me. We've got a number of task forces. I mean, we've got a number of high-intensity drug trafficking area task forces. A lot of times those task forces are also dealing with gang issues. Because, look, we know we've got a couple of Mexican cartels working here in Montana. They're pretty strident about it. That's happening. There's a gang task force here in Yellowstone County, here in Billings. Because this is obviously the biggest population center in the state. This is where we see a lot of the problems. Am I willing to take the steps necessary? Well, I mean, that's an easy one for me to say absolutely and pound my fist on the table. But you have to remember, I don't have this all-encompassing law enforcement power that people think maybe the attorney general does. I have some authority over your county prosecutors. I have absolutely zero authority legally over your county sheriffs or your local police departments. And that's just a function of our Constitution and our state law. And that's actually a good thing. Like, your local elected sheriff Right. is your highest law enforcement official. That's the way our state system is set up. And that's a good thing. That's probably somebody you know. It's probably somebody who's accountable to the locals.
Right. Somebody like Sheriff Slaughter.
Sheriff Linder. Like, we've got a great, great group of sheriffs across the state of Montana. Like, they really do a fantastic job. I work really hard to keep those relationships up. But, I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but I don't think Sheriff Jesse Slaughter would handle a gang problem. I don't think he would tolerate gangs coming into Cascade County very well.
I got a question for you, and George, feel free to jump in any time here, but does the Attorney General's office deal at all with extradition requests from foreign countries? And the reason I bring this up is because the UK was arresting people for posting social media comments that were negative towards immigration or Islam, and the UK government actually threatened to extradite American citizens to charge them with crimes in the UK for posting comments online at negative comments towards immigration or Islam. They don't have free speech there. But I guess I was curious, do you know who deals with extradition requests? It's not the AG's office?
It's not.
Maybe
us.
It's federal. I don't know.
It's federal. And anytime we've got an immigration issue or an illegal immigrant issue, that always goes through basically Homeland Security, federal agencies. I mean, we can deal with them within our state law. But eventually, if they're here illegally or if they're facing some sort of extradition, that's going to go through Homeland Security, and then they deal with that. When they actually decide to deal with that, because what's happening right now in Montana is functionally a lot of these criminals that we arrest that are here illegally, unless they've done something just incredibly heinous, they don't get deported. They get turned, right. They get turned loose.
Right. And then we've got multiple stories here of – and actually, this was retweeted by the Trump War Room on Twitter about how there was four recent really horrific murders and arrests, and all four of those illegal aliens were apprehended by the Biden administration at the border and then released into the United States.
Yeah. So obviously, the federal government is not going to say this out loud, but when you talk privately with a lot of these federal law enforcement officers, because they're pros. I feel really bad for them. I mean, we've got great people working for Customs. We got great people here in Montana working for Border Patrol.
And they want to do their job.
They want to do their job. By and large, this is conservative law enforcement professionals that want to do their job, and they're not being allowed to. You talk to those guys privately, they will tell you, we're not deporting anybody. I mean, unless it's somebody who's committed a murder or something just absolutely really, really heinous, they're not deported. They're turned loose.
Unreal.
And we're paying for it.
Unbelievable.
You know, I want to go back a little bit to these Narcan kits that you're talking about you're rolling out in the schools. Now, I mean, it's great to have those to treat that. But we know that we have to stop this flow of fentanyl into the United States. And part of that's our, well, the large part is our open borders and that they're letting these people through. But what can you do as Attorney General of Montana to help keep it out of the state and out of the country?
Well, the best thing we know how to do is we're not even asking for new federal law. So people have asked me, why are you suing the Biden administration? That's why. I mean, we've got to be close to a dozen or so lawsuits that Montana has filed against the Biden-Harris administration, just asking them to enforce federal law that's already on the books. We don't need new laws. We've got very, very strict, good immigration law, border security law. They're just ignoring it.
Right.
And flagrantly.
Is there any special prosecution for people that deal in fentanyl? Is it different from other drugs?
It is now. So, and that's, this is a really good point. Up until last year, up until 2023, no, our state laws did not have anything special on the books to deal with fentanyl. And that tells you how quickly fentanyl has come in. I mean, we really had to react quickly with that because the crimes that a fentanyl dealer could be charged with just were inadequate. Mm-hmm. So my office, we drafted an entirely new bill, a 70-plus page bill. Now, that sounds bad, but, I mean, it's all criminal code that we had to update to basically bring our state criminal laws into today's world to deal with fentanyl. So that included mandatory minimum sentences and first-time felonies. If you're dealing fentanyl and you get caught in Montana, it's no longer, you know, a six-month deferred suspended sentence and probation. Uh-uh. You're dealing fentanyl in Montana, you're going to Deer Lodge. Period. First-time felony.
I wanted to get – there's a couple other things I saw on the DOJ press release, because when I prepare for the show, I like to go to the governor's newsroom and the DOJ newsroom. This one I think is really important. Attorney General Knutson launching curriculum to educate students about human trafficking and online exploitation. As a stepdad of a young stepdaughter who's constantly asking me to get on social media and I'm constantly saying no, tell us what you're doing on that front, because I think letting these little kids know about how dangerous this stuff is critical.
It absolutely is, and this is an admonition to parents, too. I mean, we know that kids nowadays are spending an inordinate amount of time on social media, on the internet. You have to understand how risky that is. That is one of the top main ways that human traffickers and prospective pimps get to their next victim. I mean, they're very good at identifying vulnerable young people, typically young girls, not always, but typically. And very often those relationships are being started online now and through social media. So we have rolled out a curriculum. We've partnered with a great nonprofit called Unchained. And we've got a curriculum. It's a pretty comprehensive curriculum now that we've put on our DOJ website, free of charge, front facing. There's short form video, there's long form video, there's actually classroom discussion outlines, there's links to other nonprofit organizations that are tackling human trafficking in Montana. But we even just try to get into the schools and just talk to kids about the dangers. We'll actually bring in one of our DCI agents that deals with internet crimes against children to, you know, kind of scare kids into it's not just harmless online.
No, it needs to. I think that's a fantastic initiative you're doing. One of the things that I really recommend for parents is do not have a different operating system than your child, because the parental controls only work if you've got an Apple and an Apple. And with Apple, they've got some really great controls where you cannot allow a new contact without parental permission.
Dealing with mental health can be hard, but United Healthcare can help make getting care easier. With Mental Health Complete Plus, provided by Teladoc Health, unlimited virtual sessions for only $59.99 a month. Visit mentalhealthcomplete.com to learn more.
Fox News commentary.
Migrant crime is making up the lion's share of arrests in Midtown Manhattan, and you shouldn't be shocked. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Get all of your favorite Fox News podcasts ad-free on Apple Podcasts with Fox News Podcasts Plus. From Trey Gowdy, the Fox News Rundown, Will Kane, Brian Kilmeade, and so much more. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com for all the details. The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Over the last couple of years, New York City has been flooded with migrants, and with them, growing instances of migrant crime. The New York Post police sources tell the outlet they estimate a good 75% of the people they've been arresting in Midtown Manhattan in recent months for things like assault, robbery, and domestic violence are migrants. While this is an estimate, it certainly stands to reason this migrant crime wave would be occurring. New York City is a sanctuary city that also happens to be soft on crime in the first place. If you pump tens of thousands of migrants from around the world into an already crime-ridden city, you're going to see the impacts, and they aren't going to be pretty. New York City criminal court dockets are packed with so-called asylum seekers who are accused of breaking the law. And since NYC is a sanctuary city, good luck getting ICE in there to enforce immigration law. This isn't sustainable, but my friends, it's only going to get worse. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, in these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
There's a...
The SEC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got a message here. I'm gonna turn it over to George.
Oh, yeah. All right. And this is right on topic. Why is the prison in Hardin not being considered, or am I missing something? That's from Light Brows in Hardin.
So you are not missing anything. This has been a controversial topic since that thing was built. And I actually looked into this one. This is a number of years ago when I was in the state legislature. The quick answer is that it is being looked at. So that's a little bit of a unique facility. It's owned by several bondholders there in Bighorn County. Candidly, when they built that thing, they didn't build it correctly. I mean, that's the best way to say it. And I've talked with Department of Corrections about this. I've talked with private prison companies about this. The amount of money it would take for a private company to come in there and turn that thing into something that is actually appropriate is pretty astronomical. Like, to the point, some of those companies have told me they'd be better off just bulldozing it and starting over. Now, I think with what's going on in Yellowstone County right now, right, your local jail is full. Your local juvenile detention facility is full. I think even if you turn that into some kind of a minimum security, even a temporary hold facility for Yellowstone County, even that would be a tremendous help and relief off your system here locally.
Well, we've had lots of callers call into the show and say specifically, I had a trespasser on my property. I've got no trespassing signs up. I call the sheriff or the police, and they come over, and they trespass the person off the property, but they tell the property owner, we don't arrest for that. Even though it's an arrest, and my understanding is it's an arrestable crime to trespass, especially when there's a no trespassing sign. And other crimes as well, we've had people call in and say, yeah, we've been having crimes committed against us, and law enforcement is just straight up telling, we don't arrest for that. We don't have the space for it. Sorry.
Well, and don't be too hard on your local sheriffs and PD here in Billings. And here's why I say that. When they arrest somebody, that requires a lot of report writing, that requires usually a lawsuit or a complaint gets filed against them. But what ends up happening is they take that individual over to the jail, and that individual's in there for about 10 minutes and gets kicked back out because there's no room at the inn.
Yeah, so it makes sense.
I mean,
It's not their fault.
Totally. Right? I mean, that functionally is what's happening here. And also, I mean, they're dealing with a lot of other, like, really bad stuff here, especially here in Billings and in Yellowstone County. There's some bad people running around here doing some bad things, and your sheriffs and your Billings PD, they do a great job doing the best they can with what they have. But
for sure,
the inn is full.
I struggle with that a little bit, because if you have these people that are continuously doing something, and maybe it's just trespassing or something other minor now, rather than not recording that, basically. They let them go because there's no room. I would rather see them run them through there, take that 10 minutes and add that to their record so that when they do get caught doing something a little more heinous, they have a better picture of what
you make a great point because we know that's happening. I mean, I talk to task force guys here in Billings that are on the violent crime task force or the drug task force. They are routinely seeing the same people night to night. And I just think about how demoralizing that is for cops, right? Like
right.
The guy I picked up last night dealing fentanyl on the street tonight is probably going to get in a high-speed chase through the heights or something. And tomorrow night, he's probably going to do it again, this time with a gun.
Right.
Like that happens quite often.
You know, we've talked a lot about the fentanyl, this program, the educating the teens and the kids about fentanyl and that sort of thing. We've talked about enhanced prosecution for dealers of fentanyl. But what can we do for the user of fentanyl, the person that unfortunately is on that end of it? I mean, is there anything we can do to help those people?
I mean, treatment has to be part of this conversation, and that comes back to the mental health side of it. Like we've shut down a lot of our state treatment facilities, I say this as a former county attorney. We didn't have great places to send people for treatment.
All right, we are gonna have the attorney general with us next hour too. Call in now if you want to ask a question. We'll be right back.
All right, summer's over. Kids are back in school. Time to get to work, especially here in 2024. Man, it's crazy. Just a few short weeks left until Election Day. You're going to want to sound off on the big news of the day. You're going to want to tell folks all across Montana what's on your mind. And sometimes it's not always the big news of the day. Sometimes it's just the fun stuff, too. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. We take it statewide every Monday through Friday right here at 9 to 10.